Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Apex Gallery at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology presents the exhibition Without Land. It's a collaboration between the students and artist Altman Studeni exploring the wildland-urban interface. The exhibit runs from March 23rd to April 27th, and Altman Studeni joins us now from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau. Hey, welcome. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me, Lori.
Let's start with this exhibit itself and sort of how the collaboration between an artist and students at Mines, works.
Well, there's a few prongs of my own art practice that are coming together in this project. I've been working with a lot of projects that are exploring what can't be presented in a gallery in relation to the natural environment. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the projects that I do in my own practice are those that, count hawks during the month of November and spinning in place at sunset in multiple days in the same spot just to see how the landscape changes. And one of the things that I've been considering a lot is how to involve other people in those processes. How can more bodies share the story of the sensory experiences of those places? So Deborah Mitchell, the curator, at Apex approached me about having a show, and so I was curious with the environment of School of Mines how the students in those programs might interpret land use and the meaning of the wild.
And how do you work with them? So it's about more than what you might see in the gallery. Help us get our minds around what that experience is like then for the students.
For sure. Leading up to the project, I met with Deborah's students. There were 18 in her class, and I presented some information, and we shared some stories about our feelings of being in wild, the times that we've been the closest to nature. And with that framework, the students were sent out to try to find within a 10-mile radius of Rapid City the sense of nature. And for some of those students, it was at the very boundary line of that 10 miles. And for others, looking in the gallery, there's a map that shows where all of the natural materials that are part of this project were collected. Some of them are in downtown Rapid. So where that sense of the wild begins for different people is going to be different. And what they were required to present from that experience was a photograph of their location. They collected a rock from that location and then took coordinates for the part of the project that will continue at the close of the gallery show.
All right, tell me about that. How does the gallery show continue?
So at the closing reception, those natural materials that were collected from the 30 participants in the project will be exchanged with one another, and new participants will take part in the project as well. They'll plug those coordinates into the GPS GPS finders that we all have on our phones through map programs, and they'll return the rocks to those spaces. So we're going to be leaving no trace, but with a span of a month in between where these rocks are going to be in the gallery. And on the return of those objects, a new person will get another person's sense of the wild and nature, and will maybe, for some of those who need the 20-mile backcountry experience, will know that for others, nature is just at the edge of a parking lot. Hmm.
So is the sense that they will make this journey, the return journey or the initial, outward bound journey by themselves, and they will sort of stand in this space and do some sort of reflection or artistic process, or is this the journey and the return journey themselves collaborative by nature?
That's a very good question, Lori. I think some people preferred the experience of taking this on their own. I think there were others who went out with friends to, have a weekend of it. I think ultimately the experience of kind of sensing this nature is a very personal one. But in the end, there's a collaborator that this, the other person who's closing the loop on the project is, whether they know it or not, linked to the initial collector.
Right. Talk about the gallery, visitor, and what kind of experience are they going to have because they're looking at a rock and a photo. How do you sort of bring that notion of wild to them?
Yes. One of the things that we've been really delighted about through the process of this show coming together, when students were starting to bring their materials in and share their photographs, is the sense that these these small objects, these rocks, are proxies for a larger landscape. It's kind of shocking to see in the photographs how much the colorations of the stone match the landscape where they're taken from, mm-hmm. how the shapes of the stones in some way mirror their, you know, mirror their initial sites. So I hope that for a viewer in the gallery, there's a possibility that they'll be able to project themselves. They'll be able to imagine this space because they're all very familiar spaces. You know, they, again, the radius being just 10 miles around Rapid, we've all had experiences in that space. With this one object out of sight, to be able to project oneself into that site again, I think that that's where the value of the gallery comes in. Mm-hmm. And also, in the gallery space, there's a booklet that we made as part of the project that collects the readings that were done, some quotes that were inspiring to me through the process of creating this project and that were shared with students, as well as a participatory project, a frame that the gallery attendees can take with them and submit a photograph of their favorite spot in nature that then gets posted on the Without Land Instagram page, along with a response to a question that they're going to be posed.
Yes. Did you find some of the responses of the students or the artists that were participating in pulling this project together, what sort of things did they approach this and sort of say, like, you know, okay, dude, whatever, we're going to do what you say, and we're going to give this a shot, and then come back and say, wait a minute, I understand. Were there sort of transformations that way from skepticism or uncertainty to confidence and connection?
One of the dynamics that I was really looking forward to in relation to working with students at Mines is that, you know, some of these students are going to be going to fields like mining, and the sense of what the land is as a resource will be different for each one of us as well, right? For some of us, land is this escape. So for some of us, land is a resource to use and utilize. In the written responses that students had coming back from these excursions out into the relative wild, it was very interesting to see some sense of transformation, I guess is probably a good way to say that. That especially for those who the experience of having nature kind of come upon them in an unexpected place, that you didn't really need to go very far in order to feel kind of embraced or enveloped in the landscape. The conversations that we had around that were really refreshing, and that's what I hope to in any of these sort of projects stimulate in others, that, you know, participation in art doesn't necessarily mean making a painting or making a sculpture. It's a critical thinking approach. It's a way of framing your interactions with the land around you and the world around you.
Hmm. What does wild mean to you? When you use that word, you're not using the word nature, or I mean, you are, but you come back again and again to this notion of wild and wild mm-hmm. spaces. What does that speak to you?
There's a really interesting essay by a writer named William Cronin called The Trouble with the Wild, mm-hmm. where at the end, the conclusion that he reaches is that when we talk about the wild, it's so oftentimes in this framework of out there, and that the wild that's around us is not, right? It's our neighborhood, it's our city, it's our streets. So I really do latch onto the idea of wild as being an approach or being a frame of mind, that you know, the land that we're on is land that has a deep history, and whether that history has been changed by plowing or has been paved over, the wildness is still right under the surface, and it just takes looking for it to find it.
What about the search or the awareness of an unfortunate history, the history of settlement, or mm-hmm. you know, the sense of the sacred space as well? Is that something that you explored as a group in the tradition of this space?
I mean, that's something as someone who's moved from a different part of South Dakota into the hills, that's very at the forefront of my mind all the time. I had hoped that through our interactions with the land, there was a sort of gentle passing through, that what we were attempting to do in this project wasn't to modify the land, wasn't to change it in any way to kind of suit our needs, but to experience what's actually there. And to find some way to, you know, create a nexus between people in that gentle passage through the hills.
And you mentioned sort of what these particular students may go on to do in the world, whether it's mechanical engineering or work in the mining industry. They're by very nature might be disturbing land in their future in a variety of ways. Did that come up as a topic of conversation as far as responsibility and ethics and yet, you know, innovation and technology and fueling the future?
Well, I guess there's two prongs to that, and I'm going to try to keep them somewhat straight as I think about it. One of the texts that kind of guided me in coming up with this project was a book that was recently released called On Trails by Robert Moore. The assertion of the book is that, you know, no matter what, we make a mark on the land. We are, you know, all animals do. We're not separate from that. And it's less about will we make no marks as much as it is will the marks that we make be considered marks, to be considerate marks, and as, you know, non-invasive as we can be. The other prong of that is something that inspired where the title comes from, Without Land. There was an essay that Thoreau wrote, the last that was published of his life, called On Walking. And in it he says that, you know, every walk is a journey into the Holy Land, right? That the phrase saunter comes from the French santerre, meaning holy landers, those who would make pilgrimages and cross a landscape. And the other cognate to that is sans land, without land, santerre, and those who are equally at home any place in the world. So I hope that, you know, again, through this experience of gentle passage through the landscape, students will take this with them, take the memory of this moment to think about their future interactions as well.
Altman Studeni, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.